Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Well, times are getting really interesting, friends, as we deal with this ongoing coronavirus economic crisis. Not to mention just our personal health and life crisis that this thing is creating. Now, can you still keep a proper perspective about it? Let me suggest to you, you can. In fact, as serious as this is, and I'm going to share with you a very serious email from one of our listeners who's really, frankly, upset. And people, like whole families who are stuck together, right? We're coming into their store, just as an outing. Is that the right thing to do? How do you balance that with other things like dating during this time of social distancing? Now, the reason I bring that up, because there's a really cute and funny story. In the Daily Mail UK, which is a UK publication, which has a story about a Brooklyn man who wooed a woman on a first date using a drone. Oh, it's really funny. But it brought this to my mind. If you take the seriousness of what this email from one of my listeners, Jim, talks about, and you measure it against how can we have, just for our own mental health, friends, how can we have some semblance of normality of life? Because this thing's going on for a little bit longer, right? I mean, we're looking at 30 days here. Another 30 days, what the president said yesterday. So that's what's going to happen. So how do we keep it all balanced? Well, I'm going to share these stories with you because I think it helps us sort of keep that in perspective. But I do want to hear from you about that. And also, should Kate raise your cost of living by driving up gas prices during the severe economic downturn we are just now experiencing? Now, what are you saying, Jeff? I mean, you're probably thinking of saying, what? Well, why would she do that? Well, because she's a regressive totalitarian Marxist. That's why. Because this opportunity is a crisis that she is not going to, I mean, this crisis is an opportunity. She's not going to let it go to waste, because that's what they do, right? So, I'm going to tell you how she is doing this. This is an opportunity for you to use this information I'm going to give you to influence your world. Believe me, in your social distancing, that doesn't mean that you cannot still be creative about how you do things, like dating, but even more importantly, how you can reach out through social media, through maybe yelling across the fence or talking across the fence, 6 feet apart, maybe 20 feet apart. Who knows what the real distance is these days? And still be able to influence people in your world. I'm going to help give you some ammunition. I love that, being a Second Amendment person. Give you some ammunition to help be persuasive with other people. Now, if you're still working, like Jim is, that's great. This will give you an opportunity to help influence people, because this, in fact, is how Kate Brown is raising your cost of living when we're about to experience a massive, and I mean a massive, economic downturn. It's not good. I'm not looking forward to it by any respect. And that's why I say it is so important for you. And I mean this. It is so important for you to spend some of your money, and we're all going to get some, right? Whether we need it or not. We've got this stupid welfare idea just to hand out free money. And it is stupid, folks. And I know the president, Republicans had to go along with it, but it's just dumber than dumb. But anyway, we're all going to get some money. That's why I think you should spend it with some of our great advertisers on this radio station. They need it. And I want to encourage you to do it. I'm going to do it. I already am, and I haven't gotten any money yet. By the way, I also want to share with you an interesting perspective. As you're during this coronavirus mess, have you been impressed with the president's daily briefings and how his tone and how he's, you know, doing things? I mean, I really thought he was going to go hard after Pelosi and some of these other people. The only people he's gone hard after is CNN, which I mean, a couple of other reporters that have asked really dumb questions and leading questions. They're just trying to make him look bad. Well, he's gone hard after them. But generally speaking, are you pleased with his leadership and how he's done things? But I'm really referring to his tone. Now, do you think that because his tone has been appropriate, in my personal opinion, for what he's trying to do here, do you think that that's going to get more people to respect him? Or do you think that when we get out of this and we get into the campaign, and that's all coming, folks, you know it is, that he's going to revert to his insulting self? Now, I'm going to share with you, frankly, that this is Donald Trump's insults pale in comparison to what past presidents in this country have done. There's an interesting book that's just coming out about that, and I'm going to share with you a story about it. It's on Oregon Live. You can see all of this on OregonWatchdog.com. But I want to welcome you to join me today. Share with me your thoughts on political coffee this day. 503-589-1220. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. And emails, always, you can send to Jeff at 1220.am. So I started the show talking about how you can date during this age of self-distancing. And I want to get into that because I want to share with you this email. Because even though this is a lighthearted, creative thing that we kind of need right now, the seriousness of what's happening here should not be lost on any of us. And I'm going to share with you this email from one of our listeners, Jim. And it really, all of us need to take this to heart because I want as many people as possible to remain working in this environment while we're doing this, you know, next 30 days of social distancing. And I hope that's the end of it. I don't know if it is, but I hope it's true. 503-589-1220. In a moment, I'm going to go to Ron, who's on the line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. I want to remind you that if you want to build your immune system, one of the ways you should do it, should consider, is doing what I'm doing and a lot of other people, and that's take some CBD. I use Pro Bioscience CBD now. And it is grown right here in Oregon. It's grown right here and processed in the Salem area. Pro Bioscience CBD is, I'm kind of partial to this peach mango flavor that they have. And I really like it. And it tastes great. Even more importantly, it is helping me build my immune system. Maybe you ought to think about that too. I will tell you, I get a lot of benefit from it. One of the ways is that when I take it, I sleep a whole lot better. I did not take any last night before I went to bed. I did not sleep well. I'll be definitely taking some tonight. So why don't you check out pro-bioscience.com. That's their website. Pro and then the dash bioscience.com. We should have, I don't have it for you today, but I should have a special code for you probably tomorrow where you can receive an additional discount. Pro-bioscience.com. All right, let's go to the phones and go to Ron. Ron, good morning. What do you have to say today, my friend?
Brother, I just want to address how the president's tone yesterday. Here's what people don't understand. You're really speaking every day. He's using his team, and he was talking about Brooklyn, Elmhurst area, where they're putting, unfortunately, the contaminated bodies that have the virus in the freezer vans, which I've seen a video the day before. When he spoke about that, you could feel the pain, the sincerity, and he's really trying to fight this thing like a general. You have to. If people don't put their biases to the curb and see this man has weaknesses of compassion, and he does believe in people, you know, like the pillow guy and various other people that stepped to the plate without asking. That's what makes this country great, people. People volunteering to help their neighbors. People going around telling citizens, stay in the house. I'll get you groceries. Don't worry about the cost. This is what brings out the best and brightest of America. In Oregon, we are just extremely well on that department. And that's what we got to realize. The president, he might be whatever, in some cases, a Nebuchadnezzar in his speech. But you know where he stands. You know that he means. And you know what he's going to do. And sometimes, just like the left, what they don't understand is when you keep repeating lies, they hope never become the truth. When he keeps repeating the truth, it sinks in. That's the difference between a God-fearing conservative American who chooses not to drink this cup for profit, but he drank it to help save America. I don't know any other way to say it, brother. God bless. And everybody, stay inside unless you're going to be out. I'm going to be in Corvallis, making sure that you still need none, gas company or electric. So respect people that's on the railways for you because they're trying to do this, the essential services that you need so you can have your internet, so you can have your power, and have your gas without being interrupted. God bless everybody in the state of Oregon and throughout our country.
Thank you, brother.
That's great.
Thank you, and do be safe out there. And you know what? He just said something I think that is so important for us to remember and to think about. I mean, there really are people. I mean, I tell you, these truck drivers, you know, Ron makes it possible through improving highway construction and repair for truck drivers to get your toilet paper to you, to get your food to you. And you know what? So when you see these guys out there and gals, slow down, be careful. You know, they are unsung heroes. By the way, I got a shout out to my buddy, the driveway stalker, who's a truck driver, local truck driver. But he and his girlfriend, Nicole, the other day, on her day off, they went out and they bought about $40 worth of groceries. And they made up spaghetti, meatballs, and green beans in these dinners. And they went to the Love's truck stop, this new one that's just on the north end of Albany on I-5. And they handed out dinners to truck drivers. Because you know what? They're not getting any. They handed out a dinner to a homeless guy who said he hadn't eaten in 2 days. You know, I didn't realize the truck stop restaurants are closed, folks. And the ones that have fast food restaurants, you know, they're allowing the guys to come through the drive-ups, but most places don't allow people to walk up because you can't drive an 18-wheeler through a drive-up. My friend, the driveway stalker, has a great idea about how to fix that problem for truck drivers and drive-throughs. It's a great idea. Got an email from Corby, and I'm going to read this to you before we go to the break. And when we come back, the email from Jim that I think is profound. Here's what Corby says. I support President Trump, and I feel that he's doing a good thing. Did you notice how Mr. MyPillow, Mike Lindell, on saying he was converting 75% of his factory to making masks? I see today that the geniuses are suggesting everyone wear a mask when they go outside now. Let's talk. 6:20 in the morning. Back in a moment. Okay.
Hating believers and light on their faces as they march through town to the riverside. They baptize believers in this celebration of it.
Stop the car. We gotta move. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. I got an interesting email from one of our liberal listeners, Wilbur. He says, I find it interesting how Donald Trump's reaction to the left seems weak compared to what's heard on conservative talk shows. Yeah, well, I sent him back an email and I said, so do you think he's being you know, too nice to leftist media, like, say, you know, CNN? I don't think so. But I frankly think that Donald Trump is influencing other people who are now seriously taking a look at this president, really seriously, in terms of how he is leading during this time. And the daily briefings, I think, are very important, and they're having an impact. Now, do you respect him more? If he didn't insult people the way he does, would you respect him more? Is that human nature to do that? Would you be surprised to learn that a lot of our past presidents in this country from the founding have been major league insulters that make Donald Trump look like a schoolboy? You might. I'm going to share that with you because it is quite interesting. But I want to get to this email because the business of, you know, we're all staying. But yet you still, you know, especially if your kids are at home, right? They're home now. You're at home. Just maybe you're not working. What do you do to have some sense of normality? Well, do you go to a Lowe's and just go hang out, or a Home Depot or a Costco? Here's the email from Jim that, and I'm going to relate this and tie this into how do you date during this time of social distance? How do we balance this? Because this is all impacting our life. Here's Jim's email. The 2012, an executive order that has no teeth, he writes. No bite, not even a bark. If you work in a Costco, Home Depot, or Lowe's, you would not know by the volume of people that there had been any stay-at-home order at all. You wouldn't know that there are restrictions on how many people could gather in a particular area. Whole families are just out for the sake of getting out. We who have to work don't need you to be hanging out. We're happy to help you if you have a mission for an essential need, but we're not an entertainment center. Your presence puts all of us at risk, but you don't seem to care. We'd like to be somewhere else too, but we have bills to pay and families of our own that want us to come home and not put them at risk just because you needed white hinge screws or a piece of plexiglass or hinges for the birdhouse you're building because you're bored at home. Every day is stressful because the sword is at the back of my neck. Leaving the job isn't a decision lightly made, but I think about it constantly. I lost my composure in the break room because someone was coughing and not doing a good job of covering it up. I went off on him. Maybe people will take it seriously when somebody they love dies. Maybe it'll be someone's grandparent, or maybe it'll be their child, all because they went somewhere they didn't really need to go and were exposed by someone who didn't even know why they were contagious. The numbers continue to grow. Enough already. Stay home. All right, so that got me to thinking. You know, for me personally, I don't know about you, but for me personally, right now, one of the ways that I am trying to maintain some sense of normality is the fact that I go shopping, mostly for food, but I have some other needs around the farm, and you know, the farm stores are still open and Bi-Mart's still open, and I go there and I get stuff I need. And that just helps me keep a little bit of perspective here. But he writes, I mean, he really got me to thinking, am I putting people at risk? Am I putting myself at risk? Am I putting my aging father, who has all kinds of health problems, at risk that I would catch something and bring it home to him around the farm? Should I be doing that? Well, it got me to thinking, maybe I ought to do less of that kind of thing. Maybe I ought to really just be doing the essentials. So one of the way, I mean, how do you balance this? Well, okay, so whole families are going into, you know, Home Depot and Lowe's and Costco just to walk around and hang out. because you got to do something. You're bored, right? Okay. So let me just suggest this to you, and I'm quite serious. During this time, so many of our local businesses are suffering, and boy, they are. We're about to see tomorrow massive layoff numbers in Oregon and, frankly, across the country. So maybe instead of putting people like Jim's lives at risk and your own because you're out and about just because you're bored in places maybe you shouldn't be, why don't you try going out and about in a way that maybe is better? Why don't you take some of your rescue stimulus money, buy a limousine ride with Diamond Royalty Rides? Now, I'm absolutely serious here. Take your whole family. Instead of putting people at risk by going to Costco, why don't you hire the limo for a couple of hours and you guys go drive around as a family? You're separated from the driver so you can have social distancing. I'm serious. There's a lot of great places to go see in Oregon, right here in the Mid-Valley. Why don't you think about doing that? Why don't you check them out? DiamondRoyaltyRides.com. You might just be surprised how affordable it really is. DiamondRoyaltyRides.com. Check them out. Now, if you just took Jim's email to heart and you're sort of reevaluating how you're spending some of your time, when we come back from the bottom of the hour break, I want to share with you this kind of lighthearted story about how to be creative about social distancing, right? Like going on a limo ride, but also how could you date? There was a Brooklyn man who came up with a great idea how to ask a young lady out on a date using a drone. And then what happened when they went on their date? There are some good things that may come out. Bad things, too. We'll talk about the good. It's 6:30. Back in a moment. You're listening to Political Talk.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 24 minutes to the top of the hour. This segment is brought to you by Eric Azor and Righteous Renovations. You're probably spending a little more time at home these days, and you're thinking, it's time we remodeled that kitchen. It's time we fixed that problem in the bathroom. That's a great opportunity for you to do that. And you got all this free money coming, right? From the socialist that is known as Congress. Yeah, I know Trump signed it, folks, but he had to. Anyway, you got all this free money coming. Why don't you spend it again with one of our great local businesses, Eric Azor? You were going to do it anyway at some point. This is your time. RighteousRenovations.com. Check them out. They got a lot of satisfied customers. Check out their website. Have he and his team come over and look at your job, give you a bid. RighteousRenovations.com. So how do you handle this business of being social distancing? Can you even date? Well, yeah, there's a UK guy who has done just that. Well, he's not. He's a Brooklyn guy, but it's a story out of the UK. This is off the Drudge Report, and it is this Brooklyn guy who notices this really pretty gal dancing on top of the roof on the complex next door. He's a photographer by the name of Jeremy Cohen. He's 28 years old. Okay, so he flies his drone over there where she is, and taped to his drone is just a piece of paper that says, call me, and it's got his number on it. And he shot a video of him doing this, flying the drone, and he put that video out on the social media. While he, of course, is in self-isolation, as she is. They're quarantining, right? He says he first noticed, this is the story from the UK Daily Mail off the Drudge Report. He noticed this woman as she was dancing on a nearby rooftop, and he has the video of her dancing. And so he decided to ask her out in kind of a little bit of a funny way. So he flies this drone over there, right? And so she sees it, and an hour later, she texts him. And he says, I can't believe it actually worked. And yeah, this is a real story. So they went on a first date. They decided to have a socially distant dinner. So he sat on his balcony while she set up a little TV tray and a chair with a dinner and on her rooftop. Okay. They're in separate buildings. And they had a dinner date. So then they decided to go to the next level. This one was, okay, so we'd like to, actually meet in person. And so they decide to meet outside of her apartment. And so she walks out, and somebody is filming this. And he's putting all this stuff up on TikTok. And it's titled, How to Date During Quarantine is what it is. So she walks out and he shows up inside of an inflatable rolling bubble. and she just breaks out laughing. It's hilarious. And there's pictures of her, laughing. And then they go out. And so he brings her flowers and hand sanitizer. Which was a bit of a misstep, he said, because he's inside the bubble. So they go walking around together, and a cop stops them. But turns out the cop recognized his story from TikTok, from the news, and he just wanted a selfie with him. How funny is that? It really is. It is a funny story, and it's just kind of part of the creativity that, maybe we can have during this time. And you mix this up with this whole business that we are having to do this interesting time, because our leaders have said we've had to. Now, you go back to this time of thinking about the Spanish flu. And Art, I'm going to get to in just a second, so hang on. The Spanish flu, when we had it, and it was devastating around the world, maybe as high as 50 million people died from it. In America, we did nothing. Congress continued to meet during the Spanish flu, and yeah, some lawmakers lost their lives. They got sick with it, and they died. Now, it's not a good thing, and I'm not advocating for that. Although I have to say, a friend of mine did say to me in an offhanded way yesterday that, the story about Kate Brown is tested negative for coronavirus. She's been out in the public. She's been sick. Her husband's been sick. Apparently he has coronavirus. She doesn't. My friend said in an offhanded way, he said, wouldn't it be great maybe if Kate got it and she just didn't recover? And I said, whoa, what are you suggesting? He goes, well, I'm just saying, if she didn't recover. What do you mean? Like she's going to die? Well, she's just not going to recover. I mean, he wouldn't actually say it. But, it's happened. Anyway, Spanish flu, a bunch of members of Congress died because they continued to meet. Maybe as upwards of 300,000 or 400,000 people in the early 1900s. This was at the end of the World War One, and it went on for like a year and a half, 2 years. In fact, it came back with a vengeance second time around. So they did nothing called social distancing. We're doing it today. We're being forced into it. There has to be a balance in all of this. I don't want to make anybody sick, and I don't think you do either. But those of you who enjoy working want to keep working, but you don't want to, the rest of us, to put you at risk because maybe you're in a retail job like Jim is. You don't want us just coming around because we're bored or making unnecessary trips. Okay, fair enough. I mean, that well noted. But still, how do you become creative at having some sense of normalcy, like this guy who used the drone and the social distancing to have a date or several dates? I think we need to be creative. I think this is an opportunity for us. This is an opportunity for America, like Ron talked about, to come together. Maybe ways we haven't before. Anyway, to the phones, 503-589-1220. We'll talk to Art. How are you, brother? What do you have to say today, friend?
Well, first, Jeff, back in during that Spanish flu, there was some social distancing. In fact, in, I believe it was Kansas City, they locked down their city and had a very decreased level of deaths. And in Ohio, I believe it was one of their big cities, they didn't lock down, and their death rate was 10 times higher. So, I mean, It did do some good back then. It just wasn't as widespread as we're doing now. But anyways, I wanted to clarify that. Now, concerning labor, boy, what a hypocrite. You know, liberals complain about Trump if he, you know, says things, and then they criticize him like Wilbur just did in saying his week. I just hate this hypocrisy that goes on the left. But anyways, Wilbur, you're not seeing what I'm seeing because our president is doing a hell of a job under, you know, very, very bad circumstances. But Jeff, I want to talk about Kate and the gas. Kate and, you know, the gross receipts tax, you know, this is the time to support Oregonians in, you know, being able to get through this, and obviously higher grocery prices, et cetera, because of the gross receipts tax and raising our gas tax is going to hurt her constituents, but she really doesn't care. And also I want to say, I sent you that email from one of our representatives criticizing our president about not invoking the War Powers Act. And in fact, he has, and he's been trying to do that. It just ain't real easy to gear up and make things like ventilators when you're not tooled for it. So, you know, you Democrats and liberals, we need to come together in this time and start being Americans instead of being political.
Thanks, great brother. Day, Jeff. I appreciate it. You're right. You're absolutely right. We need to come together, our friends and our neighbors. Even though we may differ politically, like we do with both. Back in a moment, friends, more of your phone calls. And Donald Trump's insults pale compared to past presidents. And Kate, how she's seen her cost of living.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. Hey, my apologies to the caller who called in. I didn't see it until we were going to break. Call back in, 503-589-1220. I will get you on the air right away, or shoot me an email to jeff@1220.am. Rich sends me an email, actually a couple of emails. The first one is virus versus shopping. He said, while I was out yesterday, I observed the following. Many stores are putting up signs saying, do not bring cloth or plastic bags that you have. Finally, he said, there's some sense about the transfer of the virus by this means. Over the months of the new bag ban, I've noticed some people bring in bags that they've had their dog or cat in right into the stores. Maybe we can change this ban and put it to a halt. Politics, politics. Isn't it interesting how the virus is hitting New York City harder than other cities like L.A.? Or is it? Squeaky wheel gets the money, right? PR to get Cuomo more national media time. Never let a crisis go to waste. I wonder how bad the emergency session will be on us taxpayers. Just bring in the communist agenda. Well, I mean, if you look sadly at what I think are many unconstitutional actions that are occurring, I did not know, by the way, I was listening to Levin last night. I did not know. I mean, look, other presidents have suspended our constitutional rights in quote-unquote time of emergency. I didn't know that Abraham Lincoln had the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court arrested. Can you imagine if Donald Trump would do that today? It's stunning. Corby writes me another email, says, let's get more information before we all freak out. What are the statistics? 20% deaths have COPD? 20% have heart disease? 20% are heavy smokers and drinkers? Let's quarantine people who sneeze. Maybe we quarantine automobiles. And Anne-Marie writes me a great email. Do the president's daily briefings inspire confidence in his leadership? Yes, they certainly do. Just that in me as I listen. I've been compiling a list, she writes, of great leadership qualities for an article I'm working on. In my opinion, the president exhibits several of these qualities. He casts vision strategically. He listens attentively to expert counsel. He inspires compliance by believing the best about people rather than making punitive directions. He considers options and weighs outcomes when making decisions. I'm watching and listening to every word he says. It matters to me. Well, you're not alone. You know, because people are off work, they are watching in with huge numbers. Just believe me, the ratings are there. When the president goes on TV, which is why some of these networks are cutting away. Because to them, they know that this he is having an impact on people. Why? Because he's showing leadership. Now, that's not a bad thing. But if you look at these if you look at how this has happened in times past, presidents insulting their ways to the presidency, it's really quite stunning. For instance, there's a new book coming out. This is a story in the Oregonian. The headline is, Donald Trump is famous for his insults, but his invective doesn't compare to Theodore Roosevelt, an Oregon author argues. Politics ain't beanbag is how this starts off. Mr. Dooley, a newspaper columnist, made that observation more than 100 years ago. And so John Adams said, and this is really quite surprising, that George Washington was an old muttonhead, a dull, stupid person. And that, quote, he had not been found out only because he kept his mouth shut. He also filleted his rival and fellow founding father, Thomas Jefferson, and called him a dastardly poltroon, or in other words, a coward. Adams, who succeeded Washington as president in 1797, found himself on the receiving end of slings and arrows. Benjamin Franklin Bosch, the grandson of Benjamin Franklin, dismissed Adams as an old, gearless, bald, blind, crippled, toothless Adams. Edwin Batista is a Southern Oregon University linguistics professor, and he was fascinated by the name-calling during the 2016 election cycle, so he wrote a book about it. The book is just coming out. It's called Dangerous Crooked Scoundrels, Insulting the President from Washington to Trump. And he lists just numerous examples, including Teddy Roosevelt, who called Woodrow Wilson a Byzantine logotheth, which is a bureaucrat. He also called him neither a gentleman nor a real man. Lawyer Clarence Darrow called President William Harding a human smudge. And it goes on and on and on. So name calling about presidents or with presidents is not new in our country. But if Trump does less of it, do you respect him more? Or is it really all about leadership? Because every one of these presidents that are listed in this book were highly respected, even though they engaged in name-calling. It's an interesting thing to contemplate. And finally today, friends, should Kate raise your cost of living during a severe economic downturn like we're about to have? There's a story in the Oregon Catalyst today called Governor Brown Raises Gas Prices During the Virus Outbreak and a Bad Economy. It's all about her executive order, 2024, because it will increase gas taxes by mandating even more restrictive low-carbon fuel standards. It'll increase your housing costs by creating additional environmental building codes. It'll increase electricity rates through new mandates for the PUC and the Department of Energy. It'll divert road repair funds to help fund mandates for new electric charging stations. And it'll create new regulations on household products like your fluorescent lights, your computers, your faucets, your shower head, washer, dryer, water heaters, steam cookers, ventilating fans, and more. This is a discussion point that you can use in your conversations with people every day, social media or personally at work, to talk about during this time of the coronavirus outbreak and the incredible economic downturn we are just going to start experiencing in the next few days. This is something you can talk about. Why would you do this? Why shouldn't you do other things to make it easier on people and not raise their cost of living? Thanks, friend. See you tomorrow.